Good morning once again, brothers and sisters. In Deuteronomy 4:30, it reads, "When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice." We know we are in the latter days. We have turbulent times coming. For some of us, the turbulent times are now. And to get us through, Is it too loud? Turn to the Word of God for help in these trying times. Romans 5:3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience." James 1:14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And I think we visited this verse early this morning, and what I'm going to do is, because we've got behind on Tuesday, the slides this morning may not be from smoother transition, but the slide that you're looking at is the what I'm calling the refining of gold and the fiery trial that we go through as God His word builds our character. In 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange, considering the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Gold is the result of refining. It's done with heat. The impurities come to the surface, and you, in the process, continuing to sweep off the impurities, and the result is pure gold. Each trial that we have, as we work our way through that, you can envision the purification or the refining of gold, as that's what's working with us. And if we have one trial, lest we think that's over, probably not. We may have more trials tests in our daily lives. Earlier in the week, we had a slide on faith and works, and I'm getting a little bit of echo. And it was on faith and works. And it is an article or in the book From James to Jude, verse by verse exposition. On the 21st verse of chapter 2, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Paul advances the case of Abraham as one who was justified by faith apart from the works of the law. We can find that in Romans 3:23 and 4:8. It is significant, however, that he points to Abraham at the commencement of his pilgrimage, whereas James cites the example at the end of Abraham's life. And on this, Brother John Thomas writes, "Abraham was the subject of a twofold justification, as it were. First, of a justification of faith, and secondly, of a justification by works. Paul says he was justified by faith, and James that he was justified by works. They are both right. As a sinner, he was justified from his past sins when his faith was counted to him for righteousness. And as a saint, he was justified by works when he offered up Isaac. Of his justification as a saint, James writes, Abraham, our father, was justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. James 2:21-24. This is continuing with Brother John. I have termed it a twofold justification by way of illustration, but it is, in fact, only one. The two stand related as cause and effect, faith being the motive principle. It is a justification which begins with the remission of sins that are past and is perfected in obedience unto death. The idea may be simplified thus. No exaltation without probation. If a man believe and obey the gospel, his past sins are forgiven him in Christ. But if after this he walk in the course of the world, his faith is proved to be dead, and he forfeits his title to eternal life. But if, on the other hand, a man become an adopted son of Abraham, and by a patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and incorruptibility, Romans 2:7, he will find everlasting life in the paradise of God. This reading was from Elpis Israel, page 260 and 261. In closing, Brother John says, Abraham, therefore, was justified by faith, Romans, again, 28:4-8, and then by works. The promises were first made conditional in Genesis 12:1-3, and finally unconditional in Genesis 22:16-18. And depending upon time this morning, I'm going to come back to that and ask maybe a brother in the audience for a definition of the conditional and the unconditional. James 5:10 reads, Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. And this would be, of course, James's words to the first century ecclesia, and certainly in his letter to the 12 scattered tribes. Matthew 18:26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee. And we know the rest of the story. He indeed was forgiven of his debt, but then someone owed him money, and he shows a exact opposite as it relates to patience when he went out and was willing to put the... He that owed him money put him away. Patience, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, forbearance, long-suffering in avenging wrongs. If I was to ask you who is patient in the Bible, who would be someone you would mention? Job. And I agree. We're studying Job in our Thursday Bible classes. But then when I got to thinking about it, I think perhaps one of the most patient men in the Bible is our elder brother. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We'll just keep going with the slides. Drawing nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts and double-minded. If we, at times in our life, feel that God has left us, maybe the correct way of looking at it is God is forever there. God is stationary, and it is us that have moved away from God. Romans 15:4-5, for whomsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward another according to Christ Jesus. And I think this is in our day one when we talked about in one accord, and they were of one accord. And I think when we consider, and it's been brought up this week, the problems within the brotherhood, I think we go back to that anchor as to where are we truly of one accord, and that is with our, we are baptized into the saving name of Christ. When we come up out of the waters a new man, our brothers and sisters, certainly we are of one accord. Some of the other things that are going on, perhaps if when we're able to sit down and talk, that we remind each other of this one accord. There is our building block for fixing things. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Truly, when we have vengeance or we want to get even with someone, if it's a brother or if it's a sister, we need to remember that indeed, save that for our Heavenly Father, that and not take that into ourselves. Behold, this is where the slide I was looking for, and this is the patience that I think Christ had with his apostles. He was with them every day. They ate together. They, wherever their nightly abode was, possibly outside, whatever. And in Matthew 20:18-19, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and on the third day he shall rise again. And they didn't understand it. They didn't understand what Christ was saying. And yet, if you look throughout the scriptures, Christ never chastised them. I doubt it, from what I can read, that Christ would have raised his voice to them. He never pointed a finger at them for ye of little faith. But when we consider perhaps what we would do, the lesson is to be like Christ and not take out what we think to be an inadequacy of our brother or sister. Matthew 8:23-25. And when he had entered under the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds, and there was a great calm. And the next verse, I believe Christ knew, he knew their hearts, he knew their minds, he knew what they were thinking. And even knowing that, his answer was, "O ye of little faith." And the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds of the sea obey him?" And this wasn't the first miracle, if you will, that they had seen Christ perform. They'd seen numerous. And yet, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, there's the slide I was looking for. So for those of you that partake of the obtaining the slides, it will be there for you. And I'll visit this now, Genesis 12, 1 and 2. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And this is what I'm going to ask on the conditional and unconditional. From what, Brother James, is that a fair question at this point? From what I've just read, would that be conditional or unconditional? Let me do the next one. And Genesis 22 and 16. "And said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies." Would that blessing be conditional or unconditional?
That's set in stone.
That is set in stone. Thank you. So that was to tie in what Brother John Thomas that I had read, which I think helps with the faith and the works aspect. Romans 5, 1 through 3, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith to this grace wherein we stand." "And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience." And if we're going to be the smooth stones that have been washed by the word of God at the return of Christ, then the tribulations that we face will indeed worketh our patience. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbridleth not, and it shall be given him." Recall that Solomon asked for wisdom. Earlier in the week, we talked about wisdom. We talked about wisdom and knowledge. And I believe that we can put all of the words in our minds, and that would be what I consider knowledge. Or if you have a profession and you are one of the tops in your profession, I consider that as knowledge. Wisdom is using the word of God in the right way, dealing with our brothers and sisters, dealing with those in the world. You can have it all up here, but if you don't have the wisdom of how to use it, It's much of it is lost. There was an article recently in the June 2013 Advocate that I thought was really good, and I hope all of you take the Advocate. We always look forward to it, circle, and it's it gets read before the next one arrives. But I thought it was very, very timely. And I'll begin with balance, too, is the first principle of life. And we know from experience and observation how serious it can be for a man to become imbalanced through obsession with one line or thought or another. Naturally speaking, the lack of balance involves lack of stability that can lead to a fall, and it is no different in spiritual manners. In the scriptures, balance expresses the idea of moderation and self-control, avoiding self-righteousness or of being righteous over much, Ecclesiastes 7 and 16. The prophet Micah declared, "Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God." Christ reinforced this when he said the weightier manners of the law were judgment, mercy, faith, and the love of God. In these attributes, we see spiritual balance, for a man cannot walk humbly with his God apart from faith. And if a man has true faith and understands the love of God, true humility will naturally follow. We cannot pick and choose which of the weightier manners we will manifest, lest we become imbalanced and turn aside to the right hand and to the left. Clearly, God requires that we seek a proper balance in understanding and application. And this is from my niece, Sister Liz Sankey, who I've seen grow up from a baby. And I saw the title and started reading it, and then flipped through, and I thought it was very timely for the situation that she's going through, and the words were well said. Earlier in the week, maybe yesterday or Wednesday, we had the mirror up, and it was this week at the Bible school, looking into the mirror. And perhaps seeing our deficiencies, areas that we need to work on. And when we see those, that we not leave here this afternoon or tomorrow or Sunday and go back out into the world and then forget what we saw in the mirror at the Bible school, that we need to take those points and take them with us as well. Looking in the mirror, one of the things that as a salesman, I've worked my entire career in sales. I have a tendency, when you're working with a number of vendors, to get impatient. And patient has been a hard virtue to grasp. And I saw that as this week something that I'm going to work on, as well as hopefully in my town of Lakewood, Colorado, there's a when you go to the rec centers, I'm going to find a class on PowerPoint. This is the second time I've used PowerPoint. The first one I put poor James and Janet through in Canada, and things seemed to be going pretty well, and then I turned and there was a slide that was wrong, and I panicked, but this week, panicking wasn't so bad because I showed up with such a red face on last Saturday. You really couldn't tell. But Sister Dee has been, I wouldn't be here without the help that she's provided. And amazingly so, it was self, she taught herself how to do it. And I've got to work on that as well. And Lord willing, should I be asked to come back, I will have a PowerPoint down. When you have a lack of patience, what would be some of the side effects that you might have if you are an impatient person? Short temper, absolutely. And I think training up of children is certainly a way to gain patience, because if you don't, when they're 7 or 8 or 9, you just raised some impatient kids. I thought at one time, for me, one of the working with, if you train a dog, I had a couple of hunting dogs, that a lot grew out of that as well. But certainly patience with our brothers and sisters. We had Wednesday night class, and we were going to move it to Thursday night class. What were the first thing I was thinking? Why would we do that? And then I got to thinking, well, it's fine. If there are those that, you know, I didn't stop to ask the reason, why would we go from Wednesday to Thursday night? Well, it was providing a means for a couple of those that worked that they could get there more often. That made sense. So we now have Wednesday night Bible class on Thursday night. And life went on. It wasn't that stressful a situation, but it was interesting that the first thing that it comes up, it was like, what are we going to do that for? We've always done it this way. Lowering your stress level might be more beneficial to your overall health than lowering your LDL levels. And for those of you that are young, you probably don't care about cholesterol. Trust me, you're going to find out about HDL and LDL and all of that as you get older. It'd be a good idea now to start working on it. 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects as the result of stress. 43, that's close enough to 50. Looks like this side of the room is a little light compared to this side. So I'm going to take that this is the 43. This side of the room suffers from stress. And when you think about that with your friends or out into the world, and I don't have an idea, or the study didn't say how that number has grown, but 75% of all doctor's office visits are for stress-related ailments and complaints. Now we're back over to this side of the room, and we're going to have to add some. But 75%, think of that. Stress can play a part in problems such as headaches, high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, skin conditions, not mine, asthma, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. That's the mother load of problems. And it's affecting our hearts. It's affecting how we lead our lives with that much stress. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, declared stress a hazard to the workplace. Stress costs the American industry more than $300 billion annually. Stress kills. Watch the nightly news. There's a pill for everything. And a lot of it has to do with stress. And then they give the side effects. And when you have a side effect that is death, that's a difficult side effect to deal with. Everyone here has a favorite book of the Bible. If it's the 23rd Psalm, the next time you feel yourself in need of relaxation, that you've got a little more stress that day, I would recommend going to your favorite book in the Bible, your favorite series of verses, and watch the calming effect. Having faith in the Word of God, and faith is what the book of James really didn't start out to think it was all about faith, but the more I got to looking at it, because usually in faith you think of Hebrews and all about, you know, the faith chapter that we have and how the prophets and our elder brothers, the faith that they had to continue their task that was given them. But the more I looked at it, James knew, having grown up in the household with his half-brother, knowing the law inside and out, and I believe had very close contact with God through prayer after seeing Christ risen, and the task that he knew that was at hand, his fellow Jews were going to have faith to be able to deal with the problems that were coming. And we touched on the problems that were coming with just the fact that although we saw numbers being baptized in a day from, I believe it was many, 120 were named, 500 in a day were named, and we think of those as large numbers, but in fact they were small numbers, and in fact with the Judaizers pecking away at them, that it was going to take that kind of faith for them to overcome. We spent one whole day on the tongue, that the tongue can defileth the man. The tongue is the fire that we can set with our tongue. Brother Troy and Brother Doug, as firefighters, Doug doing wildland fires, Troy in the city of Denver, and I believe Doug has mentioned that when they put the fire out, that fire marshals can go in and they can figure out the spot that the fire started virtually within a square foot. Same with a wildland fire. It can burn. In Colorado, we've had 515 homes lost in one fire, 300 and some up north. They can go in and determine almost exactly where that fire started, regardless of if it's a campfire, somebody throws a cigarette out the window, it goes back that far. So the fire that we start, if we start a fire with a brother or a sister, I contend that that fire started right here. The fire started in your heart. And it was a lack of faith that it's almost like we should know better. If we're putting into this poor slide that I had the other day on a sieve without the holes in it, but that's when we're pushing and piling in the Word of God from this Bible school, if we consider that for the week, and we're going back out into the world and discussing on the way home with the young people, you know, what did you learn this week? What did you find exciting or new? And they're full of the responses, and it's fun to see our young people out here this morning. Same goes for adults. What are we taking back with us? But we can't then just go back and sit, because faith, if you have faith It engages works. If you have faith and we do nothing with it, then it's wasted. So for the what goes in to the heart is what comes out. Evil thoughts, and the list goes on. So as we deal, Brother Jim has talked about this week, perhaps more so than Brother David and I, about the problems in the brotherhood. They're simply not to be ignored. We need to deal with it. And I believe that perhaps a couple of brothers as mediators, if we can get the sides to sit down and talk. And I would say not before prayerful consideration, that whatever we do, that the Word of God is first and foremost in our minds and in our hearts. And some of the things that have been said, it's not, the horse isn't out of the barn and gone. That anything worth having is worth making every attempt to go out and to save. And I believe that we can, Lord willing, and through prayerful consideration, I believe we can do a lot to mend the fences amongst the unamended brotherhood. But if we don't turn up the book of James and look at the lessons and to control the tongue between now and that point in time, Lord willing, when we can sit down and talk, then perhaps this test, and I do consider it a test by God, that here's the test, brothers. How are you going to deal with it? What are you going to do? Show me that my word has been taken into your hearts and minds, and you can show me how you're going to deal with your brother and with your sisters. Because any time that we think that we can talk to a brother or sister and Christ is not standing right there in between us, we might want to think again. Things that we say we would never, ever consider saying if we pictured Christ standing right beside us. I want to, Brother Tommy needs some time here for announcements, and I want to take this opportunity to, I believe it was Brother Jim that made the call in December to ask if I might consider teaching at the Bible school, and I believe my response to him was, I don't think I would have a reasonable excuse not to. And it has been the one that does the lesson is the one that gains the most from it. But I want to thank the La Luz Ecclesia and the brothers and sisters for all the work it's needed to do to put on a Bible school. And although it looks like things are running smooth, I'm sure there are things in the background that are cause for concern. Thank you for the teacher's cabin. Truly, it's nicer than hotels I've stayed in Wyoming in my career. But thank you, and truly, we consider it a blessing to be able to attend the New Mexico Bible School. And Tommy, if I might have just 30 seconds to make an attempt to sell one more entry into the Denver gathering this fall. I believe we've been told and we're excited that, Lord willing, the Pidcocks will be joining us. So there are rooms still available, and we would love to see you in September. Thank you.